KW Mobile.
4HKX, monitoring.
4DJW Mobile.
Dave, what are you out doing today?
Beautiful sunshine. I was going to go flying, but it's too windy out there. After the rain comes the wind to dry up the water. It never fails. But I'm just going out to get some lunch. Right now I've been working on fuselage sides all day today. Firewalls, fuselage sides, and control horns. So got all the parts, all the airframe parts cut out and put together. Now I got to start on the wings.
What are you making all these planes for?
For the fun of it. There's a bunch of, I don't know, there's YouTube videos that show people that are using them with. This is really cheap, really easy to fly, keeps your thumb sharp kind of an airplane. Then there's people that tie crepe papers to the back of them, and they get five or six of them flying in the air at the same time. And with a couple of multirotors up there following them, filming them as they're doing it, doing the follow me kind of flight thing where you see them from the air rather than seeing them from the ground, which is a whole lot more interesting. So that kind of setting up for that kind of a deal.
You and Steve and Dave all talking about it, but I didn't know if y'all were building these planes for something special or what.
To have some really cheap, doesn't matter if you crash, kind of an airplane so that we don't. So it's really easy to get discouraged if you're new at it and you haven't done it much, which we've got some people that are new at it, and we don't want them to get discouraged. So give them something that is somewhat disposable so that if they do crash, it's not the end of the world, and they don't throw the transmitter down, walk away, and never come back to it, which happens a lot.
See where that would be a problem, because some of those things are awful expensive.
A lot of people make is they'll pick one that's not easy to fly. It's like a beautiful warbird. I'm going to get that one. I'm going to build it, and I'm going to learn to fly on that. And that's like the worst thing you could ever imagine doing, because those are things that are really finicky. You need years of experience to know how to land and take off. Flying with some good airflow over the control surfaces isn't too bad, but downwind, base, turn to final, flare, starts getting loose, not enough air over the control surface, starts to wander a little bit, panic sets in, next thing you know, $2,000 or $3,000 directly in the ground, and that's discouraging, and people never recover from that. So we're trying to think of an alternative way of preventing that from happening until you get a lot of time on your thumbs, right, on the transmitter sticks, stick time.
Roger that. I can see, where that would get expensive. Because everybody just wants to buy one and done, and a lot of hobbies aren't that way.
That's true. You're absolutely right. It's not limited to RC flying, right? There's a lot of hobbies that go the same way. You need to start out small. You need to walk before you run.
I like the one we're messing with right now.
What? Say again?
Using right now.
That one too, yeah. You can do some damage to a good rig if you don't get a good standing wave ratio on your antenna and you try to force it to tune up, or you try to use an amplifier right off the bat and you're getting a lot of RF in the shack. You can do damage with this hobby too, but you can't crash one. You can do the equivalent of crashing it, right? But it takes some force to do it. It's not as easy as with airplanes, but it can happen.
Like I was saying, though, you come into this hobby here and you want to buy one radio and done before you do any research on it or actually know what you're looking for, and somebody talks you into an expensive radio you can't do anything with.
I do a lot of studying on radios before I got an HF rig, and I still like it. It turned out to be a good one. I still have a TS-2000. Actually, I bought another one later after that one because I liked it so much. But the one that I settled in on more than the hybrids, those are like, they're let's see, there's the tube, and then there was the solid state, and then there between the two was the hybrid, and then there's the fully solid state, which is what the TS2000 is, and then there's SDR, which came after that, and that's the one that I like the most, where most of the radio is in the computer.
Started out with a little handheld, the one most people don't care for, and then I played with it till I got my license, and I used it for a while, and then one of the guys on my route had a FT-60R, which is another little handheld, and I got it from him, and moved up from there to the ID-5100 in my vehicle, and that's where I was at till I got this used FT-991.
That is syncing up with a repeater. Well, you can, with the good thing about SDRs, you can go from low end of the spectrum to the high end of the spectrum. You can start off with a receiver that costs $20, right? And it can receive all the different amateur bands, and it can receive a really broad spectrum of amateur bands at the same time. Right? You can see all of the frequencies that are not experimental that we are allowed to receive, transmit on at once. On a $20 SDR dongle, but it can't transmit. Then you can, if you want to transmit, you can invest $70 in a tri-band radio, $70 on a tri-band radio that you build yourself. Softlock 40 is what they're called. And that's pretty cheap. that's getting into HF pretty cheap because the bulk of it's your antenna, not your radio. W4DJW.
This is what I'm working on now, trying to figure out where to put one up. And get it all that done for this HF part of it. I'm studying to get my general, so I haven't been messing with it a lot. I listen a little bit, but not a whole lot because I don't have a good antenna yet.
In the morning crib, now and then, people don't bother me in the morning when I start working, so I turn on the radio and I hear people. I've heard you with Ken, I think it is. He's got a W5GI mystery antenna, which is the same thing I have, which the Wireman builds a really nice version of it. So that's something to think about, W5GI mystery antenna. They're not supposed to work, but they're the best multi-band antenna that I've found. Well, there's one other that kind of close to it. This multi-band, that's the Super Loop, but it takes up a lot more space. So for convenience, that's something to think about. It's like a glorified dipole. It's got coax pieces in the center. And the way the Wireman builds them, he uses that copper-clad steel, which makes them very, very strong. Normally, you would think the center section where it uses coax that doubles back on itself would be weak point, but not with the way he builds them.
Right now, like I said, I'm just looking into it, trying to figure out which way to go, and that's good information. And yes, I've talked to Ken quite a bit about that. Him and Mike and Tim and Ed, all of us meet there on the radio of the morning as we're all going into work.
My turn at the window. I'll be back in a minute. W4DJW. I'm back. Do you have tall trees or anything where you are, Patrick?
I have quite a few trees. They're across the road from me, though, is my problem. Over here, my property's split in half, and I have to cross over the road to get to where my trees are at. Other than that, I've got trees all the way around me on somebody else's property.
Is there like a power line going between you and those tall trees? They're yours on the other side of the road?
Roger that.
If you don't want to put your coax over or under power lines, if you can get away without it. They generate a lot of electromotive force as power's going up and down that line. And you don't want a perpendicular coax to that. People have made motors that work off of that electricity, so that'd mess you up. But if your neighbors didn't mind you stringing up, you know, in their trees on the other side, away from the power lines, that'd be a good thing. That helps tremendously. Other than that, you got a lot of work to do to get a good antenna up, other than trees.
What I was thinking about doing is I have a about 100-foot long retaining wall behind the house. And I was thinking about putting me a pole up in the center and then coming out of there with like a center-fed dipole and running it in an inverted V.
Yeah, inverted Vs work really, really good. All right, they change your takeoff angle a little bit from a flat top. Not quite as directional as a flat top. Makes it a little bit more omnidirectional. So you, like with a flat top, you're dedicated to the broadside of the antenna, either side of it. Like mine is going north-south, so I can get east-west. But I can't get south. I can't go over the North Pole to get to Russia, and I have a hard time getting down to Argentina and over to South Africa. Those are hard for me to get. But with the inverted V, you get the more of an omnidirection. And I'm at second row two, so I'll be back in a minute. W4DJW. W, mobile again. You still there, Patrick?
We're HKX. I'm still here.
Field day one time. We were hunting for different field days, and we set one up across from Dunkin' Donuts on Wade Hampton Boulevard. It's across from Dunkin' Donuts, there's a church over there. It's like halfway between Greer and Greenville on Wade Hampton. I think you know where that Dunkin' Donuts is up there before you get to Kmart, the old place where Kmart used to be. I don't know what they call it now. But we were all setting up antennas. We were setting up flat tops, the Corbett's Mystery antennas. And Steve was over there, the guy that lives up in South Dakota now. He set him up an inverted V using UK dipole. I forget the name of the nomenclature for that one. Anyway, he set his up as an inverted V. And we were, we had two others set up as flat tops. And we were trying our best. That's a really bad location for HF. And we were trying our best to get out to make contacts. And Steve was over there making contacts left and right on his inverted V. So we finally dropped the legs down on ours, and we could do the same thing on different bands. But definitely the inverted V does have an advantage sometimes. Not always, but sometimes it has an advantage.
So it's just easy for me to put up is what I was looking at. And I bought some land recently and hope to be moving in the next year and a half. So I don't want to invest a whole lot into an antenna in here where I'm at. So that's kind of what I was looking at.
So you would leave these two properties, the one across the street and this one, to go to the new one you got, you're looking at, or you purchased?
This is all one piece. It's just divided with the road. And then where I'm at, I'll be on up into the middle of the county more. So I'll be looking to move here, hopefully within the next year and a half to 2 years, if lumber prices ever come back down.
Lumber prices lately, but I've heard several times that they're unusually high. I gotta replace some wood on the back deck, and I was thinking about just replacing the whole floor. But I don't know, if lumber prices are sky high right now, maybe I should postpone that.
But you want to look at the lumber prices before you start pulling lumber up. And if you can get lumber, will be the next challenge.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I haven't walked over to the far end of the store at Lowe's yet. Usually, though, anytime I ever need any, I go over there. There's plenty, but you're saying they're running kind of short on supply now?
That's what I've been hearing. I don't know firsthand, but I have been hearing that they're running short on lumber. You've got to call two or three different places to get everything you need.
I've been syncing up with a repeater. Well, I did not know that. I didn't realize that. Are they attributing that shortage to, well, I guess it wouldn't be cutting trees because those guys are out in the field and in the sunlight. But maybe the processing of the lumber is where they took a hit.
Not exactly sure what the problem is or why lumber prices are doing what they're doing. So I don't know the answer to that one.
Found the reason toilet paper went, or who or why, or too widespread of an outage to be, you know, being driven by one or two people. it had to be driven by everybody. I don't think we ever figured out what happened there either.
I can do a sit back and laugh about that one. That one just, I have no idea where that came from at all.
Anybody anticipated that as being a problem? Well, one time, years ago, before COVID ever hit, one time we were at a field day site, and David, who doesn't get on here very much anymore, KJ4YQK, he's over in Dacusville. He lives on the Saluda River. One time he said, he threw an idea out there. He said, invest in toilet paper. And this was long before COVID. This was like 3 or 4 years before COVID hit, or even a sign of COVID. And he kept telling everybody, invest in toilet paper, invest in toilet paper. Nobody could figure out why he kept saying that. He knew something back then that none of us have figured out yet.
Son works at a plant that they make paper products, and when all that was going on, they were giving that out as bonuses.
So they didn't have to worry about it. Well, we never ran out or anything, but we did. Before that hit, before COVID hit, I would always just throw a pack underneath the cart while I was at the grocery store every time I went. No reason, just because it was a habit, right? When you go by that aisle, you pick that up and you throw it in there. So we had a whole lot of reserve to start with before that happened. And we did drain the reserve pretty good before it came back. But we also bought some of those that have 1,000 sheets on a roll that's like sandpaper. We use one package of that stuff, and the other, there's another package of it that we never did use, probably never will use. W4DJW. And this will be my next, the last one, because I'm about to turn in the driveway.
Hey, will you have fun? I'll say 732. Next question I was going to ask is if you ever went and done that fox hunt for that signal you was looking for up on the mountain like yesterday.
Today, too much rain, I think, more rain, and I didn't get a call to do that today. So I was expecting, but Johnny did go up there during the week and found out and turned all of our equipment off and found out that it wasn't any ham radio gear that's causing that, which is a good thing. That's a plus, just to know that it's not ham radio gear that's causing it. But I was waiting to see if they were going to call me today, and they haven't called me today, so it will happen again. I just don't know when.
Well, you have a good day, and take care. I'll talk to you next time around, KO4HKX. And I'll be clear on your final, 732.
All right, Patrick, good talking to you. It's a beautiful day out here. Enjoy the day if you can. W4DJW clear.